The stock market's going nuts. What's that going to do to real estate? We're going to talk about that next.
You're about to hear the opinions, suggestions, and observations of a licensed real estate broker in California. Since each situation can be unique, do not consider anything said here as legal advice for your specific needs. Always seek out the advice of a suitable professional in your area for advice tailored to your situation. Please remember that when following advice, your results may vary. Please also understand that the information provided here is not intended to cover all aspects of the subject material, but rather a sample of issues the speaker considers important.
What do you seem to understand? I'm not locked in here with you. You're locked in here with me.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to another edition of Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. My name's Robert Whitelaw, and I am the Rebel Broker. A licensed real estate broker in the state of California, member of the National Association of Realtors. But please, don't hold that against me. Ready to help shed light on your path towards success nirvana. Whether real estate's involved or not, of course, you know, I have the best, the most information I have to offer is going to be in the real estate world. But hopefully, what we're talking about here are success strategies that'll help you with anything. We'll be catering them towards real estate, but that's kind of where the focus lies here. I wanted to start off the show. Well, what I should start off the show with saying is this is my second time doing this show. I don't know how I did it, but I guess I just pressed play or something before 25 minutes into the show. I look up and realize that I'm not recording my voice. So that was fun. And as I'm going through the show, I'm thinking, wow, I'm nailing it today. I've got good info. Things are moving. So there it is. I guess I'm only human. I wanted to acknowledge an acknowledgement. The folks over at RDM, Real Data Management, have put me on their list of the 7 must-listen podcasts for commercial real estate pros. And I couldn't be happier. Thank you very much for including me on this list. Some of the other shows on the list that they had as shows you should check out. Commercial Real Estate Show was one. Bigger Pockets Podcast. Real Estate Realities with the Rebel Broker. That's me. Best Real Estate Investing Advice Ever with Joe Fairless. The Real Estate Guys Radio Show. I've actually heard good things about the Real Estate Guys Radio Show. I've listened to a couple of their shows. They seem to be really good. Epic Real Estate Investing, the Ultimate Real Estate Investing Podcast. So feel free to head on over and check those out in iTunes if you like. And thank you again for the folks over at RDM for including me on this list. I did do a retweet of that announcement, so thank you once again. And the real thanks, I think, needs to go to my audience. You folks, since the change in the format has sort of taken effect, have really been supportive. I couldn't ask for better. And the only reason I think acknowledgments like this come up are strictly because of the attention that you folks bring to the show. So thank you very much. I really do appreciate it. And hopefully lots more of this kind of stuff will come as I really focus my efforts on building the show, building the audience, increasing the value that I bring to the table for everyone who uses their valuable time to listen to what I have to say on these subjects. So again, thank you very much. Now, if you'd like to help the show out, be a part of the Rebel Nation that makes this baby grow, head on over to iTunes. If you're not someone who consumes the show via iTunes, that's perfectly fine. But if you could head on over there and write a review, that would be a huge help. My understanding is the way that the algorithm over at iTunes works is the more reviews you get, that's one of the big things. It's not just apparently downloads, which is super important, but also the reviews. So if I can get the show to the point where it shows up, I guess, in the new and noteworthy or popular today or whatever different kind of categories they have going on, that would be a huge win for the show. And I would be forever in your debt. So please feel free to head on over and do that if you'd like to sort of in a more material way send your support to the show by taking a few minutes out of your valuable day to write a review. The other thing I wanted to cover today is we are on day, what are we on day? 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, I think day 23 of the RSS hostage situation, where my RSS feed was being held hostage by Blog Talk Radio. I've decided to start participating in Reddit more. I was in Reddit a super long time ago, sort of let it fall by the wayside, and now I've sort of gotten back into it. So I was just commenting on a few things in a podcasting Reddit and thought, you know, maybe I'll share my experience that I've been having with Blog Talk Radio, and went ahead and sort of laid things out, and a gentleman named Andy something, don't recall his last name, but he's an executive over at Blog Talk Radio, responded. And we chatted back and forth. You can check it out on Reddit if you like. I believe it's just Reddit podcasts. And pointed out that not only was it my RSS feed where the link that tells iTunes to look at a different RSS feed is always there and always points to Blog Talk Radio's RSS feed for my show. You know, he pointed out what that tag is supposedly for, and his description of what it's for is actually totally on, absolutely correct, but doesn't explain why Blog Talk Radio has it as a default entry for every single RSS feed. And what's interesting is I pointed out at first he seemed to be trying to say that it was a problem just with my RSS feed, but then I made sure to point out that if he went to any Blog Talk Radio account and looked at any RSS feed from Blog Talk Radio, every single one of them that I looked at, and I looked at about 25, included that iTunes new URL tag, which tells iTunes to look in a new place for the URL for the RSS feed, which effectively hijacks the RSS feed from anything I'm using to control it through a third party. Just completely hijacks it from that and makes it so the only folks who can tell iTunes I have a new RSS feed somewhere is the folks at Blog Talk Radio. So as an update to that, as of Friday, the 28th, they are no longer doing that. Andy shared with me in the Reddit subreddit that for podcasts that's no longer happening. I went and verified that it's not happening on my feed, and the five or six feeds I checked, it didn't have the iTunes RSS, new RSS tag included. So that's great news. The bad news is my RSS feed, of course, has been updated for iTunes to look at my Blog Talk Radio RSS feed. So that hasn't been done yet. As in a follow-up, he also mentioned that that my issue would be taken care of. I let him know that I started a ticket with support over 2 weeks ago. We're now almost 3 weeks. It'll be 3 weeks on Monday for this. So it's a bit shocking that it takes at least 3 weeks, right? It's not resolved yet. It takes 3 weeks or more to have one line of text put into your RSS feed to solve this problem. So for those of you – and, you know, I mentioned this. I realize this is not real estate. But, you know, I also get folks who reach out to me who want to start their own podcast. I am happy to share – if your folks are interested, I'm happy to share with you how I started my podcast. You know, I've been doing real estate since 1988. I've been doing podcasts since 2007. I feel like I can offer some interesting insights into the way to move forward if you're starting a show. And I started off with zero expense. I didn't spend money on anything when I started my show in January of 2007. So I'm happy to share with you so that you don't have to go through the same growing pains I went through, so you don't have to fight with a podcast hosting service about your RSS feed and where it points. I am happy to share with you the way I think makes the most sense for a newcomer to this to get started in a way that completely saves you from all the headaches. So feel free to reach out to me. If you'd like to get in contact with me, remember, I'm always hot to hear what scares you the most. What is keeping you from taking that next step towards success, whether it's real estate or not? And what are those real estate specific things that scare the hell out of you? I want to answer those kinds of questions, address those kinds of issues on this show. So please head on over to www.therebelbroker.com. If you haven't already, join the Rebel Nation and you will get updates on all future webcasts or webinars that are going to be going on. You'll get free content from time to time. And you can rest assured that I will never share your contact information with anyone else. That is simply not going to happen. The only things you will get will be things directly from me and not some third party. I will not sell your information to third parties. So don't panic about that kind of stuff. All right. So let's jump in here. And you know, it's funny. I find myself in a position where, as I said, I just did this show and I already said that. Well, yeah, I said it, but I wasn't recording when I said it. So I'm hoping I don't. It's so horrible to be losing your mind in the middle of doing a show. All right. So the beginning we should start with here is that the real estate market absolutely has a relationship with the stock market. And over the last 2 weeks, we have seen some dramatic occurrences that are scaring the crud out of an awful lot of investors. It wasn't just last week. Remember, the week before last week. So for 2 weeks now, we've been having bad stuff happening. A lot of it started really with the Chinese devaluation of their yuan. They've done it, I think, 4 or 5 times now. Their market has taken a huge dump. As tends to happen in communist countries, they're looking for folks to line up and shoot as a result of these less than stellar results. But let's take a step back for a second and try to understand how this affects you, because frequently people don't get that just because you're not a big stock market investor guy or you're not someone on Wall Street, you don't get that this absolutely affects you, because it does. Anybody who has any kind of retirement account, whether it's a 401k, whatever, that money doesn't just get put into account and sit there. It gets invested in things. So this is what it's invested in, folks. This is it, the stock market. And for those of you who are now looking at your 401k balance, it is probably quite a bit less than what it was a month ago. So absolutely, this has a dramatic effect on not just folks who make policy decisions as it relates to finances and stocks and lending and all these other types of things. It also plays into consumer confidence, what people are comfortable doing, whether or not people are confident that things are heading in the right direction. These are all affected by this. Now, let's start at the beginning here a little bit and establish that there is a relationship between home equity and the stock market. Now, home values and stocks have pretty much shared the same trajectory since the market peaked back in 2006. And if you look at a table of those two values charted together, they tend to stay very close to each other in terms of what direction they're going. Now, a stock market change or big correction, or they like to use the word correction, but a big drop or boom, meaning bad boom, not like boomtown, but boom, something explodes and leaves a big mess, doesn't mean a housing correction is bound to come next. It doesn't mean it is, and it doesn't mean it isn't. So we really have to sort of sit back and figure out for ourselves, because a lot of these folks aren't going to tell us this. They're going to lay out these numbers in a way that leaves it sort of unsaid on what the real dark side of this potentially could be. But we're not going to do that here. We're going to try and be super honest. I'm going to be as honest as I possibly can and just share with you what these things tend to do. And particularly since I pay attention to this stuff and I've seen how it tends to affect the real estate market. One side effect here that's a good thing. So let's start with a little bit of good news. Interest rates are about to go down. And I'm saying that because that's what tends to always happen. Mortgage rates will tend to dip because investors are going to move away from stocks. They're going to move away from the less volatile stuff, the stuff that jumps up and down. And if our market's been doing anything over the last 2 weeks, it's been jumping up and down. They're going to move into things like treasuries. Well, if they invest in treasuries, interest rates go down. Now, that's one part of the equation. So the what it costs you to borrow money is likely to get cheaper. So all you buyers out there who've locked in a rate and you've stopped watching interest rates, go start watching them again and see if it's going to make sense for you to allow your rate to readjust to the rate in the coming week. I will bet that you'll probably see this start to happen during the week next week. In fact, if we look at Bankrate.com, we can see that it's really already started to happen. Interest rates are really already down 0.02. The 30-year fixed is currently at 3.85, down from 3.87. The 15-year fixed is down to 2.96 from 2.98. The 5-1 adjustable rate mortgage is at 3.14, down from 3.19. So that's down 0.05. So that's down even more than the others. So we're already starting to see this. We're already starting to see that this sort of merging or transitioning of investors from the more risky things like the stock market over to treasuries is already starting to have an effect. And my guess is it'll continue to do that. So keep that in the back of your head. You have to decide for yourself whether or not we see an increase of potential buyers because of a lower interest rate. I would argue that we're at a point now where that's not going to happen. Everybody has grown bored with low interest rates for whatever reason. I guess if you find yourself in a position where you're getting filet mignon every day and champagne every day, at some point that's not exciting for you. You can't even conceive of a time when you wouldn't have filet mignon and champagne. So everyone is just sort of used to this low number, and I don't see – I don't see a reduction in this number pushing things up really at all. It hasn't in the past, over the last couple of years. I think the only dramatic effect we can see with interest rates is if they go up. And once they break consistently 4%, 4.5%, 5%, you know, maybe that's when people start freaking out and think they need to move before it gets even higher. Or maybe like they've done in the past with other upticks in interest rates, they assume it's just going to come right back down again and do nothing. So I don't see that being a huge offset. In other words, whatever other things we talk about today in terms of what's negatively affecting real estate as it relates to the downturn in the stock market, I don't see lower interest rates doing anything, right? I just don't see it being something that's going to encourage more people to come out and buy based on that. I think that the other things will far overshadow any potential positive effect that lower interest rates might have. Now, while we're talking interest rates, let's talk a little bit about the Fed, right? The Fed are the folks that are going to decide whether interest rates go up or down. Remember, all of the popular, all the hip kids in the financial world have been saying September, that's when it's going to happen. Well, as of I think yesterday or Thursday, Bloomberg was saying there was only about a 24% chance that the Fed would hike rates in September. As you know, I've said I think it's even less than that. I'd put it at less than 10. I honestly do not believe that the Fed is going to raise interest rates. I think we are now in a position where things are politically wonky enough. No, and we're early enough in the political election cycle, but not early enough that raising interest rates would be too much of a variable. The folks in charge right now are not going to want interest rates to be changed based on the fear that it will create something terrible that just seals the fate of folks trying to get elected. So this is a phenomenon that we see every time. It's not necessarily just a Republican or a Democrat thing. This is just a thing. So I honestly don't think that we're going to see interest rates being raised. And I'll say it again, I know I've said this before, but if they do get raised at any point before the election, it'll be such a ridiculously low increase that it'll be almost unmeasurable, and it will actually be touted as this amazing statement of how great the economy is when it's really just a token gesture. So let's talk a little bit about what has actually happened. So in the third week of August, that was the worst week in the stock market in 4 years. The Dow Jones went down 1,000 points on Monday the 24th. Some experts are talking about these being early signs of a recessionary period. Former Secretary of Treasury Lawrence Summers is one. The percentage drops might be enough to get the attention of high-profile investors. General economy doesn't need to be as worried yet, according to UpNest. But Monday, there was a 6.6% drop that is nowhere near as bad as the 22% drop from the infamous Black Monday of 1987. But going all the way back to that, where no one remembers what it was like to go through that, isn't really helping anybody. But let's talk about the perception bubble here for a second. Because when we talk about the stock market, we have to understand that folks like you who tend to listen to podcasts, you guys are going out of your way to get more informed on things, right? I may be the only podcast you listen to, but I'm betting for most of you, that's not the case. I'll bet you probably have 3, 4, maybe 5 different podcasts that you listen to because you're trying to get a variety of information. You are, to put it simply, a freak. The vast majority of people do not do that. You're a freak in a good way, if I can soften the blow a little bit. Most people don't do that. They don't look deeper than the headline or the first few sentences of the start of the story. It wouldn't surprise me if every one of you could share a story about how you're going through your day and you hear someone talking to someone else. Maybe it's in the subway. Maybe it's around the water cooler at work. Maybe it's while you're waiting online at the Starbucks or at the Pete's Coffee or wherever you are. And you realize that person's talking about an article you read as well this morning, but from what they're saying, it's clear to you they read the headline and nothing else. And now they're having a conversation trying to speak authoritatively about something they know nothing about. That's your average person. In fact, that might even be slightly more informed than your average person. We have to – just like I've described before where – unemployment numbers, for instance. When you talk about one person being unemployed, that person isn't just an isolated incidence of unemployment. They're a bubble. They're a perception bubble. And anyone who comes within influence of that bubble, anyone who knows that person, sees what they're going through. So an isolated unemployed person is not isolated. Everyone who sees that person as unemployed, suddenly it brings the reality of that to them. So you sort of get this mushroom cloud of response. Now, the reason why I focus on this is because this is the way most people tend to get informed on things, right? I start to believe that the economy is doing poorly, that the job situation is bad, not because I read the labor statistics from the Department of Labor, not because MSNBC or CNN or Fox Financial News or any of these other folks gave me an in-depth story on the situation as it relates to unemployment. The broad spectrum of people in the United States do not come to these conclusions from the news. They come to it from Uncle Joe, who lost his job, Cousin Terry, who can't find a job, your brother Jim, who's now living in your parents' basement, right? That's the anecdotal. That's the real life part that people see. Now, this works the exact same way, but slightly a little bit disconnected, right? There's the folks who are connected. Anybody who's investing in anything for retirement is seeing this. You get your statement every month and you're going to see a negative number and how much growth you had over since the last time you looked at your numbers. That's the way that works. And I'll be honest with you, I actually think that's less impactful. While there are people who probably consume that stuff religiously and go through it, I think that's a little bit more of a passive thing. They see a number, they go with it. If it's a lot lower than it should be, they may notice because they're going to think, wow, you know, I remember this being bigger last month. The big thing is the drive-by folks, the folks that we were talking about a minute ago that you overhear in the line for coffee or at work or on the subway. These are the folks who just get in the headline, right? Well, the headlines for 2 weeks have not been good. Now, what's really scary is despite the fact that some of these headlines tend to be sensational because that's the way they sell clicks, right? Online or in papers or on TV, it's the standard teaser, right? That you get before the news comes on at night where it says something along the lines of apples could kill your children. We'll talk about it tonight at 9, right? That kind of thing. It's a teaser. It's something to get you to go to the next step. And that's what a headline is, I guess, to try to get you to the next step. But so many people just consume that as the information instead of looking more into it. So that's the way these headlines tend to get written, right? And that affects a general feeling. And by the end of a week of seeing those kinds of headlines, it's less about the content of the headlines or an ability for them to even tell you where they got this information. It's just a general feeling of things are not good. They can't tell you what headline it was or what story they brushed across that made them think that, all they can tell you is, I don't know, I just don't feel good about it, right? It develops that sort of overall sense of things are not good. Now, we've already had this for 2 weeks. I'd argue that the headlines that we've been getting don't actually even come close to giving the level of financial terror that should be running around in some corners. Because remember, in addition to the stock market stuff, China is dumping our treasuries at a huge level. I don't suppose anybody knew that, right? But that's not good with our treasuries being sold crazily by China. The good news is other folks are buying it up because they're getting – as I mentioned before, folks are buying treasuries because that's what happens when you want to go to a more secure type of investment, something that's a little bit more reliable. But we can have a whole other show about what happens if China dumps all their treasuries. But the point here is that this affects – the confidence of the general population. Just like when you've got that family member who's not employed, and that has a profound effect on your personal perception of what the unemployment picture looks like, seeing your own investments dwindle, coming across people who in casual conversation you overhear talking about how bad the economy is because they're just sort of unconsciously recalling negative headlines. And I'm not even trying to suggest that these folks are wrong. What I'm suggesting is that whether they're actually reading these or not, let's assume nobody is the drive-by reader I'm suggesting. Let's pretend for a minute that we're all the kinds of citizens that Benjamin Franklin wanted us to be, a well-informed populace, right? Let's pretend every single one of us is. Well, then that gives us even more reasons to be worried because none of this data is good news, and people tend to act in a way that is – a demonstration of their perception of how good things are or are not. So this negative information relating, and I'm not, as I said, the perception is created, right? So as soon as that perception gets created, people start responding to having that perception. So it negatively affects the marketplace. And I don't think interest rates are going to help, even with when they do go down, and they will. It will actually, I think, stall folks. It really depends on how dramatically they interpret this data. They'll start to question whether or not home values are going to go up or down. We've, as I mentioned a couple of shows ago when we were talking about the most the best places to buy right now, Sunnyvale was one of those. And for the last 2 months, average prices have gone down in Sunnyvale. Now, it's still over $1 million at an average price, but it's gone down. That's a pretty big deal. That's a trend, right? So as the perception on the part of the public gets worse and worse on which way the market is going, their willingness to pay higher prices for homes is going to go down. Remember, no matter what you think about how well-informed the population is, their most recent economic memory is the downturn. So if there's one thing where there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction, it's like folks who live in California all their lives, and when an earthquake starts – they just sort of sit there. They get numb to the earthquake. Now, I happened to live there when the quake of 08 hit. And I was in a basement class in San Jose State University. Looking across the room, you could totally tell who all the California people were. We all just sat there. Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, at some point, that earthquake changed. It became it was like someone had picked up the room and dropped it, and it took on a whole different feel. And suddenly everybody was on their knees holding their head down to the floor. So at some point, we all get it. And when you have this while there were tons of bad things that may have happened with earthquakes, that downturn in 2007, 2008, that was the room being picked up and dropped for folks, even if they'd been through something bad before. That's the most recent memory. That's kind of what we have to contend with. That's what we have to offset. Folks are going to go back into this mode that they think makes sense based on their past experience, back from very recent memory. Okay. Now, one, and again, I forget if we mentioned this or not. I think we did. They're talking about this preventing the Federal Reserve from raising the interest rates. We've already talked about interest rates and the Fed. For political reasons, I don't think it's going to change. And everyone who's analyzing this downturn in the stock market, the very next thing out of their mouths is how they think that will keep buyers in the market. And I just don't see that. I can see it as being more of an encouragement to buy. I mean, if money is cheap, but you know, buyers in general, as long as we're seeing a number that's 3 point something, nobody cares. At least that seems to be what I'm seeing. If you have a different opinion, I'd be happy to hear it. We already covered what interest rates were doing. Some other possibilities here on the bad side. We're currently in a seller's market. It's really been that way for 6 months. Medium home prices across all housing hit $236,400 in June of 2015. And that was topping the last peak of $230,400 from 9 years ago. Buyers have been confident to buy on housing recently. But as I said, I don't think this market downturn, as it sort of permeates the public mind in terms of what they're seeing on headlines, I really think that a confidence shift is going to negatively affect that. Zacks, a Wall Street research firm, states how important consumer confidence is. Quote, "Few people are likely to commit to a big mortgage payment if they feel that their economic future is uncertain. When the stock market retreats and the value of portfolios declines, investors are impacted psychologically." And I'd broaden that. I'd say that most people are impacted psychologically, not just people in their portfolios. Now, the advice that you're getting from most folks out there now is just to move along. Just keep going just as you are. I think that's probably semi-reasonable, but I think look for those deals. Look for opportunities to get good deals. Now, if confidence is negatively affected, as I think it will be, if interest rates do what they are going to do over the next week, this could be a fantastic winter for investors and buyers to manage to scratch a deal out. So take this as your opportunity to do that. Let's see. There was one other thing here I thought I might share in terms of real estate investments in the stock, because they actually did better. It was sort of a ray of sunshine. Now, the real estate industry stocks, they sit up 0.1% versus the S&P 500, which is down 0.1%. So, however, the top decliners within the industry were Vornado Realty, General Growth Properties, Federal Realty Investment, Simon Property Group, Kimco Realty, all down at least 1%, from 1% to 1.6% in terms of their value. The top gainers in the industry were Ashford Hospitality Prime, up 11.6, Outfront Media up 2.2, ICANN up 2.1, Equinix up 0.8, and Weyerhaeuser up 0.7. So that's, you know, that's definitely inside investment baseball, so I'm not real sure how sexy that is. But I really would take this as an opportunity to potentially dig up some better deals. I've always said that the way that you're going to find your best deals is to not go down the same path everyone else is going. So while public opinion tends to move towards the negative, take advantage of that. Use that as an opportunity to get better deals. Interest rates are likely to go down a little bit more. Use that as an opportunity to get a better deal on whatever your loan might be for a property. I still firmly believe that fixing your home costs, if really bad things happen, there are folks out there with tinfoil hats that are talking about some really bad stuff coming in terms of recessions and inflation and all of these things. And there's absolutely reasons to be concerned about that. I'd be lying if I said that there weren't valid reasons. And if any of those things come to pass, the best thing that you're going to do for yourself is to get yourself in a situation where your housing costs are fixed. They're very comfortably within a budget that you're okay with, and you're able to move forward and know that at least what you're paying every month for the roof over your head will not go up. If you can secure that in a super long lease on a rental, I suppose that's great. If you can secure it in a lease option, where then you later have the option to purchase it, please listen to my show on lease options. I still think those are a great option for getting a great deal in real estate right now. Maybe even more so with the opinions of the mass population taking a downturn with what's going on with the market. You may be able to find yourself a great deal that way. All right, folks. Thanks again for listening. I really do appreciate it. You don't know how much it means to me to be a file on the device that you're currently using to listen to the show. And the only reason this show succeeds is because of you. So thank you again. Feel free to get in contact with me via the website at www.therebelbroker.com. As I said, you can also find me on Reddit. You can find the Facebook page. You can head on over to I created a Google community. I think I'll get an email when someone posts there, so I don't think you'll go ignored there. I'll get an alert and I'll come and we can have a chat. I'd love for these conversations about things that you're worried about and concerned about to happen there, just so that the back and forth discussion can be saved for other folks to benefit from. But if you want to do it privately via email, just head on over to therebelbroker.com, click on Contact the Rebel Broker, and I'll be happy to take the information that way. You'll go to a screen where you can just input your message and send it to me, and I'd be happy to explore that right here on the show so everyone can benefit from it. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoy your weekend. Have a good one, and I will talk to you on Monday.